This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now, Mayor Bloomberg presides over the largest initiative in the country to arrest young men of color on false marijuana possession charges, an outcome of the controversial stop and frisk practices conducted by the NYPD. Evoking Charles Dickens' famous novel, protesters declared that biased policing practices under Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Kelly were creating a tale of two cities. One is for white residents, where marijuana possession was decriminalized in 1977, where they are seldom stopped and frisked, and mothers do not fear that their children will be unlawfully rounded up by the police.
The other, New York, is for the hundreds of thousands of people of color who are stopped even though the overwhelming majority of them are innocent of any wrongdoing. Tens of thousands are illegally searched, falsely charged, arrested, and incarcerated for marijuana possession, even though it's not a crime in New York. And mothers live in fear of the police unlawfully snatching their children off the streets.
Underscoring the two-city theme at the end of the rally, about a dozen young white people blocked the entrance to NYPD headquarters, exposing themselves to arrest by police as they denounced the racially biased police practices. The police refused to arrest them. Well, now we join the rally to stop, and frisk.
Down with the man and his jails, his jails. Down with the man and his mass incarceration.
Stop and frisk and illegal marijuana arrest. The number one arrest within communities of color. We're here today with our black brothers and sisters, along with our Latino brothers and sisters, and our white brothers and sisters, to bring these two cities together in solidarity and show these NYPD that we're here together and we're gonna end this racist practice and policy. Our first speaker, her name is Joanne Norton, a part of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
I'm retired from the NYPD. I was a police officer, an undercover narcotics detective, a sergeant, and I retired as a lieutenant. I now work with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition regarding drugs. I'm going to speak to you about stop and frisk. It is argued by some people that a stop and frisk is nothing more than a minor inconvenience, a petty indignity. No big deal. They say this minor inconvenience may be imposed in the interest of fighting crime, especially getting guns off the street. But we pride ourselves as Americans on being a nation of laws. Stop and frisks are governed by law. Every police officer in every police department in this country must obey the law regarding stops and frisks, but that law is being violated in this city. In 1968, the U.S. Supreme Court said, whenever a police officer approaches an individual and keeps him from walking away, a stop has occurred. And in order for that stop to be lawful, the officer must have a reasonable suspicion that that particular individual was involved in specific unlawful activity. A hunch is not enough. And in order to frisk that person, the officer has to have additional reason to suspect that this person is armed. The court said that a frisk is a search that is performed in public while the citizen stands helpless, perhaps facing a wall with his hands raised. It is not a petty indignity. They said it is a serious intrusion upon the sanctity of that person, something which may inflict great indignity and arouse strong resentment. And it is not to be undertaken lightly, the court said. So police may not even stop someone unless they have some specific reasons to suspect that individual of wrongdoing, much less place their hands on that person or order that person to empty out his pocket. This Supreme Court decision is the law of the land. The police commissioner knows it. He also knows that his police officers violate this law. Not only is the law violated, it is violated in a racist manner. We are not saying that whites should be stopped and frisked at the same frequency as blacks. We're saying no one should even be stopped without specific reasons to suspect that person of unlawful activity. Nor should they be frisked without specific reasons to believe they are armed. The evidence indicates that the NYPD targets minorities and that those stops and frisks are done without legal justification. Last year, 9 out of 10 of the people stopped and frisked were neither ticketed nor arrested. Most of those people despise the police today. Frederick Douglass said, "Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will." He said this about ending slavery 150 years ago, but his words ring true today. The mayor and the police commissioner are to blame for these improper stops and frisks, as well as the targeting of minorities. This situation could not exist and get worse each year without the approval of the powerful, particularly the mayor and the police commissioner. They need to be held accountable.
My name is Tino Harding. I'm with the Center for New Leadership.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted to say that we're standing here across the street where it says the true administration of justice is the firmest pillar of good government. And what's happening in New York City is that the firmest pillar of bad government is happening to our communities every day. So if you believe what I believe, say no justice!
No justice!
No peace!
No peace!
No justice!
No justice!
No peace!
No peace!
Let's let them hear it. Let's march in unity and solidarity and show NYPD that we're powerful too. Let's go! Headquarters, and we're talking about stop and frisk, and we're also talking about the illegal marijuana arrests that happen every 10 minutes in our community.
Right.
A black person is being illegally searched and then arrested for something that was decriminalized in 1977, over 30 years ago. We were here last year. Why we were here is because Commissioner Kelly released an ordinance that said the NYPD should not be arresting people if they take marijuana out of their pockets due to police cooperation.
That's
right. Well, I'm telling Commissioner Kelly and Bloomberg that your order's not working. They are still arresting people every day for something that is not a crime.
Right.
And I told them last year that we will be back. And where are we?
We are back!
We are back here because these things had to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The person that we got coming to speak is Lynn Paltrow, an attorney and founder and executive director of the National Advocates for Pregnant Women, residents of New York City, and mother of twins. Give her a warm round.
Myself. Reproductive justice doesn't just mean the right to decide to end a pregnancy or to continue to term. It means the right to go to term, to have children, and not to have to worry that when they are born, they will be arrested because of the color of their skin.
All right.
Reproductive justice means that you do not have to worry that your children's youthful adventures and experimentation will be treated as crimes that will mark them for life in the new Jim Crow. And it is not just what's happening out of the police department with stop and frisk. It is the child welfare system that's about making parents and pee, that you judge by the drugs they use and destroy families through the police and through the child welfare system. It has to be no to stop and frisk and parenting and peeing so that only some people get to stay with their families and others don't. I'm here because people I work with have had their children stopped and arrested for being in public housing because a summer intern watched across the street from her house as two young men of color walking on an athletic field are stopped for no reason and thrown against the police car. I'm here because a militarized police can be used against everyone for any reason, and it has to stop. I am the mother of teenage twins. They are white. I want them to feel safe and not feel afraid, but not because of the color of the skin or the privilege we have, but because we live in a just city for everyone. And I want to say this, as far as I know, I am not yet a grandmother, but I can promise you that I do not know what color my grandchildren will be. And I demand from Kelly and Bloomberg that this city be safe for them no matter what.
We're going to have speak is the executive director of the Center for New Leadership and also a pastor, Dr. Divine Pryor.
All right.
There's a woman by the name of Fannie Lou Hamer who one day said she's sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to send a message to Michael Bloomberg and Commissioner Ray Kelly. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
Our youth are being criminalized, they're being demonized, they're being dissected, communities are being destroyed. This whole stop and frisk is only a byproduct of a system that is discriminatory, that is racist, that is differential, and has decided that it's illegal to be poor, that it's illegal to be black, that it's illegal to be brown, that it's illegal to be human, and enough is enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tens and thousands of youth are being charged with a crime for something that should result in nothing more than a citation. And what Bloomberg is saying to us is that our kids don't count.
That
our kids should be shut out, that they should be locked out, that they should be pushed out, that they are not worthy of respect. Well, today, Michael Bloomberg and Commissioner Ray Kelly, enough is enough. That we are sick and tired of your racist policies. We are sick and tired of our youth being destroyed for something that your youth participate in too. We are here for one reason only, and that is for us to come together as a human justice family and put a stop to these racist, these draconian policies. And so what we want to send out today is a message. Commissioner Ray Kelly, Michael Bloomberg, enough's enough.
Enough is enough! Enough is enough!
Shame on you, Michael Bloomberg!
Shame on you!
Shame on you! God bless you!
Shame on you! Shame on you!
So the next person we got coming is Dina.
From Worth.
Which means.
Women telling our story.
Today, I'm standing here as a mother of three black sons.
Three Latino sons.
And I am not going to accept you guys profiling my kids anymore. When they walk out the door, I have to be afraid that they will never come back home. And I'm sick of it.
Sick of it.
Okay?
That's right.
Last year, my 16-year-old son was arrested under Operation Clean Halls for coming out of his friend's house. That's not right. Because of the color of his skin and the clothes he was wearing, you guys stopped him illegally for visiting a friend. And I was sick for 4 hours because I didn't get a call or a notice that my son was in custody.
That ain't right.
I'm not going to stand for it anymore.
That's right.
We are sick of it, and we're sick of you rolling around in our neighborhood, stopping our children for no good reason other than the color of their skin.
That ain't right.
We need to stand together as one.
What?
Because it's no longer a black and white thing. This is an everything. This is everybody. If you are seen hanging out with someone because the color of their skin, you're going to be stopped by the NYPD.
That ain't right.
Women on the Rise telling her story. We are all mothers, and we all suffer through the same things.
That's right.
Let's stand together today, united, telling the NYPD, Commissioner Kelly and Bloomberg, that we are not going to tolerate this anymore.
That's right.
From Occupy the Hood, who's also a congressional candidate, George Martinez.
Yeah. Hello, Ray Kelly. Hello, Mayor Bloomberg. We want to wish you farewell. Your days, your time in New York City are coming to an end. The reign of terror at the hands of NYPD is coming to an end. For too long, our young brothers and sisters have been harassed, have been threatened, have been socialized to be a part of a criminal justice system that is going to end now. The people's justice system is going to be put into effect, and the people have determined that this action, stop and frisk,
criminal.
Next year, I encourage all of us to bum rush the vote, to get a mayor, to get more city council members like Jamani Williams inside our government, so that when we're outside, we are celebrating. We're not going to take this anymore. One love.
No justice! How people feeling? This is a beautiful moment right here. We are basically showing that these two cities that have been divided by racist practices and policies are coming together in solidarity to expose the internal racism within NYPD. I'd like to introduce a city council member that's been a strong ally in advocating against these racist policies and practices. City council member Melissa Mark Viverito.
This is a beautiful sight. This coalition to push back against these unjust racist policies continues to broaden, and it's diverse, and it is a wonderful sight to see. I'm glad that my colleague Jamani Williams spoke, and we have been extremely, extremely vocal. Thank you, organization. We've been very present on these issues, and I'm deeply concerned. We were here several months ago when it came to the marijuana arrest. We said, and we thanked our Commissioner Kelly for doing what he did in terms of the internal memorandum. Unfortunately, we see that the numbers continue to rise.
That ain't right.
When it comes to our stop and frisks, of which marijuana arrests are a subset of those arrests, we know that those numbers continue to rise. So we are here to continue to express our outrage, not only as elected official, but also as constituents of communities that are disproportionately impacted by these racist policies. I've said the 23rd precinct in my district is number 1 in Manhattan and number 6 in the city for stop and frisks.
That is not acceptable.
We continue to see young people that are becoming alienated, that are severely disenfranchised, that these policies continue to criminalize a whole generation of young people, and that is not right. So I will stand strong and side by side with anyone who wants to speak up for justice, who wants to speak up for equity, who wants to speak up for sane public policies. These are not sane policies when we are dividing low-income communities and wealthier communities. That is what this is. These policies are directed at our communities, and that will not be tolerated. So then here, demanding justice for all of our constituents.
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
I'd like to introduce one more person.
All right.
Our next speaker, a gentleman by the name of Dr. Harry Levine from Queens College. His research helped expose how these racist policies and practices affect communities of color and white communities.
Yeah, Harry!
Talk about it. New York City.
New York City.
Arrest more people for marijuana.
Arrest more people for marijuana.
Than anything.
This
is crazy.
This is crazy.
This is wrong.
This is wrong.
This must stop.
This must stop.
White people use marijuana.
White people use marijuana.
More than black people.
More than black people.
White people use marijuana.
White people use marijuana.
More than Latinos.
More than Latinos.
But black people get arrested.
But black people get arrested.
7 times more.
7 times more.
Latinos get arrested.
Latinos get arrested.
4 times more.
4 times more.
This is unfair.
This is unfair.
This is unjust.
This is unjust.
This is racist.
This is racist.
This is unfair, unjust, and racist.
It is unfair, unjust, and racist.
This has to stop.
It has to stop.
This has to end.
It has to end.
We will stop this.
We will stop it.
We will end this.
We will end this.
White people don't get arrested.
White people don't get arrested.
We say no arrests for people of color.
We say no arrests for people of color.
White people don't get fined.
White people don't get fined.
We say no fines for people of color.
We say no fines for people of color.
We say no arrests.
We say no arrests.
We say no tickets.
We say no tickets.
We say no fines.
We say no fines.
No arrests, no tickets, 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 no fines.
What do we want?
What do we want?
No arrests, no tickets. Tickets, no fines.
No arrests, no tickets, no fines.
And we will win.
And we will win.
Everybody getting arrested. Let's show them our support.
Brother, why are you here today to get arrested?
I'm here because NYPD, Ray Kelly, and Mayor Bloomberg have divided the city for far too long by the racist policing most exposed by the marijuana arrests in New York City. White people possess and smoke marijuana with impunity because marijuana is decriminalized for them because the legislature in 1977 deemed it that the police should not waste resources and not put people into the criminal justice system for possession of small amounts of marijuana. Meanwhile, in the other city, people of color are continually harassed, illegally searched, and are falsely arrested for the same marijuana use that white people do. So I'm standing here in solidarity with my fellow New Yorkers of color. We, as white people, are not going to take this anymore.
And you are?
I am Evan Goldstein with the Drug Policy Alliance.
My sister, what brings you folks here today to make the sacrifice of getting arrested?
To highlight the issue that Commissioner Kelly and Bloomberg's policies of racist illegal stop and frisk and marijuana arrests are dividing our city, and so we're here as white folks in support of communities of color that have been doing a lot of organizing to get accountability from Bloomberg and from Kelly to show support that don't want the city divided, and we don't want anyone being profiled and harassed in the ways that communities of color have been under too damn long.
And you are?
I'm Sam Impedatrice.
Hi, listen, let me ask you. You're making a point of saying that there are 9 of you who are white who are going to get arrested today in solidarity. Well, you tell me why. Where does the issue of racism come into play?
Well, 86% of those arrested for small amounts of marijuana are black and Latino, and we just want everyone in the city to be treated like us. You know, I think it's pretty straightforward. When you see your neighbors and your friends and other people in your communities and your city getting harassed by the police, getting caught up in the criminal justice system, getting hurt by the criminal justice system, you know the benefits of not getting harassed. And so we just want everyone in New York to share those benefits.
And given the state of racism in this country, which is really rife, where does your sensitivity and your consciousness come from about this issue?
I mean, you know, you don't have to talk to Black and Latino folks very long, you know, before they tell you about getting stopped and frisked, before they tell you about what it feels like to be targeted by police. Just talking to friends and neighbors made me aware of this issue.
And you are, my brother?
Brendan Beck. You know, we're here to support Vocal DPA, but I work with a group called Milk Not Jails.
People united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
Why do white people have to do to get arrested?
But I'd like to thank our white allies that came out today for putting their freedom on the line.
And these racist policies and practices.
And these racist policies and practices.
That have been dividing our city. But today. We just proved and improved. The NYPD. Only targets. Communities of color. So we'll be back. With more white allies. And see if they feel that's a threat.
We're here today. And we'll be back again.
Well, indeed, money for jobs and education, not for mass incarceration. And we are on the cusp, I think, of getting rid of, eradicating, changing these policies from the NYPD and Mayor Bloomberg around stop, stop, and frisk, and the marijuana, the heinous and very often illegal marijuana arrest. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.